Okay, this coming Shabbos, we are going to have the pleasure of reading Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach, we are told, of course, Parshas Zu, Yafim Nidreshes. This Parsha, of course, is often well darshaned, and the Pasuk begins, Vayikach Korach, Korach took, and Rashi explains that he took himself to one side of the Machlokas. Now, in Pirkei Avos, this Machlokas is contrasted with those of Shammai and Hillel, which are Machlokas L'Shem Shammayim. Now, how can one who rebels be compared to the Machloksin of Shammai and Hillel? So the late great Mira Shishiva of Nassim Tzvi Finkelzatzal explained that Korach also debated a big question in life. How is one to properly get close to Hashem? And the difficulty was not the difference with Moshe in this regard. It was the fact that he pulled himself over to one side, and he used it to be mechalik and separate himself from the rest of the crowd. When a person goes ahead and says, I have the way, I know, I'm the only one, everything else before me is gone, everything else before me is useless, then all of a sudden, that is a situation where a person proceeds, Shalom L'Shem Shamayim. Rabbi Dr. Saul Roth, should continue to be well, used to point out to me all the time that one of the great challenges of people is that when they pull themselves to be anti, when they pull themselves not to work with the masses, not to work with the standard, then by definition, they are creating the difficulty. He could never work with an environment where there is absolutely no way of engaging within everything that had pre-existed. A person has to know that if he's going to be successful in a new way, or in a new perspective on an old system, it has to be able to be properly respectful and aware of that which came before. And this, of course, is where Korach seemed to fail. He stood in front of Moshe with 250 people, and of course, in a famous drasha that's been rewritten in so many different shiurim and svarim, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal gave a well-known drasha that Korach's rebellion was based on his common sense logic and how he wanted to use it to paskin shilas. Now, the problem is that sometimes there is a logic for the discipline. There could be a logic for science that is independent, a logic for chemistry that is independent of secular logic. There's a logic of mathematics that is different than what we call common sense logic. And the same thing is true for halacha as well. Sometimes svara is okay, but that idea of using simple logic to paskin a shaila is okay only when the logic is Torah dictated. Rav Shechter Shalita would often add, From the Sifrei, that if based in Paskins that we're not allowed to veer from their Psak, even if they tell us to follow Allah Smol Shu Yamin Vala Yamin Shu Smol, right, then that is what we're supposed to do. So Rosh Hashanah told us this doesn't mean you can do the wrong thing. It means that if it appears to you to be backward, that what the Pshat is, Afilu Omrim L'cha Ala Yamin Shu Smol Vala Smol Shu Yamin, it means that it appears that they're saying that the left is the right and the right is the left. So in such a situation, then you might need to learn the system of Torah logic because it seems so backward to you. Somebody pointed out in the shir at the time, we've heard it's the first time, that maybe the reason it appears back to you, wrong to you, is that when you stand facing somebody who's telling you that left is right and right is left, it's because you're facing them instead of standing alongside them. And that's something important for a person to realize. In life, if you're standing opposite Torah logic, you're going to see lefts be rights and rights be left. Ki kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim. We pointed out that everyone argued that they were all holy. So why? Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. So one gets the impression that the Mishnah doesn't accept the questions of Korach. The Mishnah that we mentioned before in Pirkei Avos. How is one allowed to ask tough questions if we don't accept them as potential questions? So Rav Sabato Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva and Malei Adumim suggests that it wasn't the tough ideological questions that makes Korach's relationship difficult. Rather, the problem was that Korach was guilty of personalizing his desires and his problems, which was precisely the same thing he was accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of. Oh, Korach walked around, it's about me! But he turned it into a logical discussion. Right? He tried to make the issues of logic fit his own personal ism. When one does not really ask questions, but rather make ideological demands, that's not something that it becomes easily quieted. And so therefore, it contrasts well with the machlokas of Shammai and Hillel, who were able to say, as the Mishnah points out in Yevamos, that based on all of this, still, with all the differences of opinion, still, Shammai, the B'nai Shammai continued to marry the Talmidei Hillel, and the Talmidei Hillel continued to marry the Talmidei Shammai. They recognized that there was a system of halacha, and they came to different conclusions, but it was the system of halacha that they allowed to continue to be strong. He spoke to Korach and his whole group, saying it will be as Boker. Hashem will make it clear. And Rashi explains what is this issue of Boker. In the same way that there are boundaries between day and night, you can try to change those in the same way that you're trying to change these. Now, what does day and night have to do with Korach's challenge? So the great Gaoner of Asher Weiss Shalita suggests that the issue is similar to the original debate between day and night. The Gemara in Chulin tells us the moon asked Hashem to shrink one of them, meaning the sun, in the process. The sun, on the other hand, S-U-N, stayed silent, and Hashem answered the moon by making the moon small, and he allowed the sun to shine within its strength. In the same way that Hashem took care of the sun when the moon challenged its boundaries, Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, Hashem's going to take care of me, Boker, right? Hashem will take care of Moshe in the face of Korach's challenge as well. Boker, if you think you're going to be successful here, it's going to be just like the boundaries of Boker, and you should be prepared and cautious in your proceeding going forward, Korach. And of course, the Torah tells us that overnight, Vayikoel Aleim Korach, Korach gathered the entire assemblage onto Moshe and Aaron. And Rav Yashiv Zatzal pointed out that there's a strong contrast between the ease that Korach had bringing the people together to listen to them and that of a different period in Jewish history. The Yalkut Shimoni explains that Yirmiyahu, Tzafanya, and Hulda all had to offer a nevuah at the same time. Yirmiyahu offered it in the marketplace. Tzafanya offered it in the shuls. Hulda Nevi'ah offered it to the women. And the Yalkut Shimoni adds that Yirmiyahu went to the markets because he wasn't sure that the people would come to listen to him. Tzafanya went to the shuls, but because those people in the shuls ran into the shuls not to hear Yirmiyahu. Hulda sought out the women to hear them in a language that the others didn't or couldn't hear. So Rav Yashiv says that when it comes to the word of Hashem, it takes a larger effort to have his words heard. That's a strong contrast to someone who comes for personal glory against Hashem. To that, to go ahead and achieve personal glory, to hear good entertainment, that everyone seems to come running to in order to be able to go ahead and proceed. After Korach gets what's coming to him, the people get all nervous and they put another test. Moshe takes all the staffs and he puts them inside. And of course, the Ramban is the one who notes that this test came about because the Bechoros now all of a sudden wanted to serve in the Mishkan instead of the Levian. But if after the taste of the ground opening and the fire consuming the Ketoros bringers, the people were still not swayed, why would this test once again prove anything? So the late great Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, Rav Simcha Zissel Brody, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, explains that this test had an additional component, and that is the almonds. Lest the people think that Moshe was stringing the situation along, Hashem added to Moshe's test in a manner not revealed to Moshe, which proved to the people that it was Hashem and not Moshe who was calling the shots. It was Hashem and not Moshe who was involved. He alone was setting the structure, and it was his decisions that Moshe was charged to implement, not vice versa. Of course, we read, V'ani inei nasati l'chas mishmeres trumosai. As for me, I gave you the responsibility to guard my truma. And we learned that truma needs protection from becoming tamei and being wasted. Now, the Avnei Miluim has a tshuva in the back of his sefer who notes that creating a bitul l'chadchila is a rabbinic prohibition. Except, of course, when a person is mevatel truma. There, instead of being rabbinically forbidden, being mevatel isur lechatchila, there it's an isur d'oraisa, since when you do so, you're causing the loss of kedushas truma. The Stipler Zatzal disagreed. He thought that Davnei Melun was incorrect, that it's not an isur d'oraisa, because there's a major difference between being mevatel and being metame. Being metame is a problem because one's actively removing kedusha from a kodesh. But when bittul happens, the kedusha just disappears on its own. It's not the same embarrassment to Kodesh that the Isser discusses. And since that's the case, when a person has a responsibility to be Shomer Kedushas Truma, that means he should not actively go and get rid of it. But when a person's not being active, it's just the bittul that comes about, that's not going to create the same problem. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read that Shmuel HaNavi turns around and he gives the people his final wording as they switch over to the process of Melucha. And Shmuel declares, if you show a Yira Shamayim and you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you listen to him and you don't rebel against him. Now, why does Shmuel have to caution the people to engage in three different aspects of the tzidkus needed to serve Hashem? To fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serve him, and to listen to Hashem, and then also not to rebel. So the Lutzker Rav of Zalman Saratskin Zatzal explains that even if one serves Hashem and fears Hashem, the Yitzhar can still get the person to sin unless he's careful to be on guard not to rebel against Hashem. Korach served Hashem. Korach loved Hashem. Korach wanted to do even more. But what he did was he allowed his personal isms to lead him to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a responsibility in life to serve on the same side as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not to stand opposite him, but rather to stand right in line to assist him in his mission. Yakir v'yedu kol agoyim ki ato Hashem Elokeinu v'ato avinu. And if we can turn around and make that our mission in life, then we can guarantee that we will get not only to the day today when that becomes so, but we will get to that great day, v'haya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz, v'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad, and that great day, that Shabbat Shalom HaGadol, to which Yehi Chalkeinu Imahem. Shabbat Shalom to all.